Welcome to our City Gate Atlanta podcast. We trust you will be blessed by these messages and invite you to join us anytime as we worship the Lord and seek to walk in the fullness of His purposes and destiny for our generation. Information about our gathering times and various ministries may be found at www.citygateatlanta.org. May God bless you and carry you into the fullness of your purpose in Jesus.
You don't really have a word. You haven't got anything to give.
I know it's going
to
be good now.
I thought about you, Beverly. But I've got to tell you, if your ears were listening during worship to the prophetic words that were coming forth, all I'm bringing now is the scripture to wrap around it.
Okay, all right. That's awesome.
So I'm going to ask you all to open up to Acts 8, verses 26 through 39. And while you're looking that up, I'll tell you. That one's like in the house. I think it was better without. Thank you. Thank you, Dana. That's good right there. I can see. Thank you, ma'am. several weeks ago, God had me go to this passage. And I'm sure this has probably happened to you before, so you'll know what I'm talking about. When you're reading scripture, and all of a sudden God says, stop. And He asks you a question. And you know something really good is coming. Because He's about to give you some revelation. And it may be something you knew before, but it's something He's getting so deep inside of you that it's like, I just feel like He's changing my DNA with this.
Yes.
So if everybody's there, I'm going to go ahead and read this and we'll start. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. I am amazed and wrecked by this story. The first thing that God showed me was that in Deuteronomy 23:1, it says, No one who is emasculated or has his male organ cut off shall enter into the assembly of the Lord. So, we have a eunuch who was prevented from fully going into the assembly. This eunuch who could not fully go into the assembly had gone from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship the God of the Jews. That was his one thing, to worship God. Somehow he had been told about God and he was drawn to God. We aren't told how he had come to his faith, but we do know he was trying to understand the scriptures. What can we know about this eunuch through scripture? First, he was a court official of Candace. And I found out, just as a side note, Candace is the name of the queen of Ethiopia. It's not like a given name, like yours is Jackie, mine's Teresa Dina. Candace is like Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. Candace is the queen of Ethiopia. So he was an official of hers. Number two, he was in charge of all her treasury. Three, he was given permission to go to Jerusalem to worship God. Number four, he was intently studying scriptures, trying to know more about God. And number five, he was drawn to go to Jerusalem to worship God, even though he could not worship fully like the others could. He was pressing in to know God as best he could. One who had been castrated could very well have become angry and bitter, wouldn't you think? For the most part, those who were castrated were those who were slaves and were going to be working, serving the queen and the concubines of the king. What I see in this eunuch was the spirit and the tenacity of a Joseph, making the best of every situation. He was honest and he served the queen well. Otherwise, he would not have worked his way into being trusted with her treasury and also as a court official. He also was trusted enough to take this trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, knowing he would return home. She knew if she let him go, that he would be back. Interestingly, he is in the book of Isaiah. He's reading Isaiah 53, 7 through 8. I'm thinking he's been in Isaiah before. I'm thinking he may have seen these words in Isaiah from Isaiah 56, 3 through 7. And I'm going to read them from the voice. No stranger who has put trust in the eternal should ever say, I don't count.
Wow.
I'm not part of the eternal's chosen people. And no eunuch should ever say, I am all dried up, worthless, and empty. For this is what the eternal has to say. The eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, make good choices, and follow the terms of my covenant will blossom with my blessing. I will give them within my house an enduring memorial and a name better than if they had sons and daughters. A name that will never be forgotten. And will continue to inspire and encourage forever. And of those strangers who are not among the chosen people of Israel, yet have bound themselves to the eternal, attend to God, and love all that the eternal is and does, if they serve him, keep the Sabbath, make good choices, and cling to the terms of the covenant, I will bring them into my holy mountain where no foreigner is allowed. I will bring him into my holy mountain where no foreigner is allowed. And I will give them a joyful welcome within my house of prayer
wow.
for all nations.
Wow.
All nations. Encouraging words for a eunuch and a foreigner.
Amen.
Does God see? Will God answer a eunuch's desire to know him? The verse that pops in my mind at this point is from 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. As I was reading into all this and praying, I'm going to read you an excerpt I wrote from my journal. This Ethiopian eunuch had been to Jerusalem to worship at the Jewish temple and was heading home. Amazing to me, as I read a note in the Voice Bible, that there was a Jewish prohibition of full participation in temple worship by men who have been castrated. A prohibition this eunuch likely encounters in this very visit to Jerusalem. And yet, this man was pressing in. He went to Jerusalem to worship anyway. He was studying scripture, though he did not understand it all, anyway. He was seeking God anyway. What will God do for a person who will really press in no matter what?
Jesus.
Here's what he'll do. He'll send a Philip. He will send a Philip. A man who listens, hears, and obeys God. A man who has just turned Samaria upside down for God. A man who has changed a city through the power of the Holy Spirit. He will send him out into the desert. He will send him to preach the gospel, to give revelation to one. From Samaria, where things are happening, to the desert, to preach to one eunuch.
Yep.
Remember, there was so much happening in Samaria that the apostles sent Peter and John down to pray for the Samaritans to see if they would receive the Holy Spirit, which they did. And so now Peter and John are preaching the gospel all around Samaria on their way home to Jerusalem. Stuff is happening in Samaria. And in the midst of this, Philip is called by an angel, no less, to go to the uninhabited desert. Yes. He's gone to preach to a eunuch, even though he doesn't know why he's When Philip hears Holy Spirit tell him to go up to this chariot in the desert, he ends up in the carriage at the eunuch's invitation. After Philip explains the passage to him and how it relates to Jesus the Christ, they come to some water. Yeah, water in the desert. I love the way the voice records what happens next.
Wow.
Eunuch. Since there is water here, is there anything that might prevent me from being ceremonially washed through baptism and identified as a disciple of Jesus? Philip, if you believe in your heart that Jesus the Anointed is God's Son, then nothing can stop you. The chariot stops. Philip and the eunuch walk together into the water, and it states in the voice, there Philip baptized him, initiating him as a fellow disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Philip,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Philip is caught up by the Holy Spirit and taken from the Ethiopian eunuch's sight. By the way, he's transported over 30 miles away from the road in the desert to Azotus, which is the Old Testament Ashdod. And the Ethiopian climbs back into his chariot, continuing on his journey overflowing with joy. This life is now changed. This man is now a disciple of Christ, and I do call him a man. This man is a child of God. This man is able to worship the Christ, our Lord Jesus, fully, set free for the purposes of God, and taking the gospel to Ethiopia. Interestingly, when I looked up the word eunuch in the dictionary, it had two meanings. The first one, we'll know, a man who has been castrated. But the second one, this really got me, an ineffectual person. The word ineffectual, when related to a person, means this: lacking the ability or qualities to cope with a role or situation.
Wow.
Lacking the ability or qualities to cope with a role or a situation.
Jesus.
Interesting. I wonder how many of us have felt this way or been led to feel this way in our lifetime. Well, take this story, if that is you, knowing that the Christ in you, the hope of glory, causes you to be able to do all things. You have purpose. Believe as the eunuch did and go for the destiny God has for you. Believe him for all things.
Yes.
Be set free, and do not let this hinder you from your walk any longer. Hear God and submit to him.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus, there is greatness in this room. Jackie has said it before, and I heard God say it again.
Right.
There's greatness in this room,
that's right.
And I want you to hear, and I want you to take hold of what he has said to you. Do not listen to the voices from the past, because with Christ, you've all of a sudden received every single thing you need to walk in everything he has given you to do.
Amen.
And I proclaim it on this people in Jesus' holy name.
Yes, I agree. I receive that. I receive that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Ah.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
There it goes. Preach. Preach.
Okay. This leads me to something else, though, that God showed me about Philip. Through Philip, about a life submitted to God. As I stated before, Philip had been in Samaria where things were really happening. He had been proclaiming Christ to them with signs and wonders following. Remember that the apostles sent Peter and John down to pray for the Samaritans when they heard all that was going on down there. Some might think that Philip might think, this is the territory God has given me, and I have worked it, and I will stay. However, God sends his angel to Philip. All he tells Philip is where to go, an uninhabited desert. And he doesn't tell him why. And the word tells us in Acts 8:27, so he got up and went. Immediate. God could trust this man to do what he asked him to do. Who is this Philip? At one time, I thought Philip was one of the 12 disciples. But in studying in the past, I found out he is the Philip that we read about in Acts 6, 1 through 5, which reads, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. So we know from Scripture that these 7 that were chosen by the congregation were men who were believers, of good reputation, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. Here is a godly man full of the Spirit who is chosen to wait tables and assign others to do so. The word serve here is the same word from which we derive deacon. Some say these 7 were the first deacons, although the office of deacon had not yet been established. It appeared that he did his job well, as we never heard anything differently, and the word of God was spreading. Wow. Then, after Stephen was stoned, Philip went down to Samaria. It tells us in Acts 8:1, and on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. In Acts 8:5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. This is where he was when the angel appeared to him and told him to go to the desert road. Let's go. Jesus says, and we're going to go back to Matthew 28, to Jesus' commission, 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Christian Classics Ethereal Library writes the following regarding Philip going to Samaria and preaching to the eunuch. When the church scattered, Philip ends up bringing the gospel to 2 disadvantaged groups, the outcast Samaritans and the mutilated eunuch. The church thus moves further away from an exclusive and strict Jewish religion towards being the body of Christ for all people. And Bible Gateway's InterVarsity Press commentary says this: the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch graphically demonstrates the inclusiveness of the gospel. No apparent obstacle, whether physical defect, race, or geographical remoteness, can place a person beyond the saving call of the good news. And there's a note to this, that in the days of first century Romans and Greeks, it seemed to them that the Ethiopians lived literally at the southern edge of the earth. So we can see how this faithful servant and evangelist, because of his total willingness to walk out what God spoke, helped to bring about these words of Jesus. From Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is not the last we hear about Philip. There's another little nugget about Philip. In Acts 21, 8 through 9, we're reading about Paul's journey. And Paul writes, on the next day, well, Luke writes in Acts, but Luke was with Paul during this journey. I didn't know that until I read this. On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea. And entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with him. Now, this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. From the accounts I read, this was about 20 to 25 years later than when we previously saw him in the desert. They say that they believe that he went from Azotus up the coast evangelizing and settled in Caesarea. And this is not, by the way, Caesarea Philippi. This is Caesarea that is by the coast. It sure appears that Philip has trained the next generation in the things of God. Four daughters prophesying, and they were known for this. This wasn't a one-time thing. They were known as prophetesses. So Philip, faithful to submit to what those in authority over him have asked him to do. Philip, faithful to continue bringing the word of God when persecution drove him out of his hometown, taking it to those who are known as outcasts. Philip, faithful to go out into the desert when he hears from God to do so, even without being told why. Philip, faithful to keep going and evangelizing in different towns over a long period of time. Philip, faithful to bring up his children in the way of the Lord, being a good example to them and being authentic. I want to be like Philip. I want to be found faithful. Even though God may have me doing something different, I want to do that thing. I want to make a difference in the earth. I want to see his kingdom come to earth. And I know that with God's power and willingness and my total submission to him, it can happen. It can happen for any of us. God is not a respecter of persons. So I'm going to leave tonight with some questions for us to ponder and think about. Tonight and maybe through the week. And I've got four different layouts. There's more questions than that. But number one, am I submitting to those God has placed in authority over me? Am I willing to serve wherever I'm needed? Am I submitting to those God has placed in authority over me? And am I willing to serve wherever I am needed? Number two, what is the desert or wilderness place that God may call us to in our day and time? What is the desert or wilderness place that God may call us to in our day and time? And am I willing to humble myself and go wherever God calls me? Number three, am I living the life and doing those things at all times that honor the Lord so that others will be drawn to him? Am I living a life of integrity and humility? Am I living the life and doing those things at all times that honor the Lord so that others will be drawn to him? Am I living a life of integrity and humility? And number four, am I discipling others? Am I passing down those things of God that I have learned? Am I discipling others? Am I passing down those things of God that I have learned? Father, we stand amazed at your far-reaching love. And we stand amazed how you can use one or many, but it's all for your pleasure of bringing all those in to your kingdom. Lord, it is all about you. I just pray that we can believe everything you say to us. Father, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation for each of us, Lord. And Father, as we open the Word each and every day, I pray that you would stop us and ask us questions and reveal more and more of who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for this time and this night, and for all that you have imparted this day. We praise your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I have something I want to share with Teresa. One of the things I saw while you were preaching is the word that came against you today, whatever he was saying and they were saying against you, by the very thing that you brought forward today, you took the scripture and you shoved the scripture, literally like this. I got this picture. Shoved it. And he shut the mouth of the enemy.
Yeah.
Shut the mouth of the enemy.
That's a good word.
Tonight, you shut the mouth of the enemy. Okay? Because of the Ethiopian. Because of the testimony to me, it shut the enemy's mouth in my life and everyone else in this room. Everyone else in this room.
Yeah.
And yours too. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah. Thank you and bless you for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Woo.
Amen.
Yeah. I love this.
As a visitor, I don't know what protocol is, but I believe, I was going to tell you this afterwards, but I believe God wants your congregation to hear this. I forgot to mention earlier that I also heard, as you were going into the water from your vision, a new baptism. And I thought, well, what else could it be, you know, what's a new baptism? And I heard, and this was, I asked God, you have to confirm this for me before I get up and tell everybody, because... And it was confirmed with the lights and then with your scripture. And God told me to expect that you are going to receive a new baptism of light.
Baptism of light.
Light.
And what she doesn't know is I've been using the phrase, and I used it several times this last week, but it was time for us to have a fresh baptism.
Praise God.
In Pittsburgh. That we need to be baptized again. There's a fresh baptism that God wants us all to enter into of His light and His grace and His glory so that we move in His power.
Yeah.
See, this is what, let me wrap this up a little bit here. This is what body life is supposed to be like.
Yeah.
See, Meg, I received you here because I received you by the Spirit. I didn't have to know you as in sitting across the table. I knew you by the Spirit when you walked in. I could look at you and I knew you. You see, that's what God's doing with us.
Yes.
And the Word of God says that when they gathered, one had a word, another had a word, one had a prophecy, and one had an interpretation, and all were submitted one to another. And see, there's been total order with lots of freedom. And that's what we're after. I don't want to do boring church. I'm just not interested. I'll stay home. Tonight I would have stayed home and gone to sleep. I mean, you know, let's get real. But I wouldn't have missed this for anything. I scheduled my flight home so I could get here. Because I didn't want to miss what God was going to do here. And you did shut the mouth of the devil.
Yeah.
So I charge you all now in the mighty name of Jesus to go out as a redeemed eunuch to be a Philip.
Woo!
To your sphere so that those that you share with will go as a redeemed eunuch to their Ethiopia. That's what we're about. So I send you forth now in the blessings and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with all the love I can muster up. Love you guys. Good night.
I'll take it.
Everybody, don't go that way. Everybody is charging their phones over here. Okay, the lights are off. Oh, wow. We've got a charging festival happening over here.
That's Jackie's phone there.
This is Jackie's phone.
This is Barney's. So right. This is my plug.
All right, well, let me get this for her. Is it 100% yet? Yeah, she's at 100%. Good. Okay.
Which is a teenage apparatus, right?
That's for
me. Yeah. Bob,
thank you.
To support the wedding. Are you still recording?
So that's the one thing.